You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So if you joined us yesterday, you heard our conversation possibly about Town Topic is limiting its hours now at its 20th and Broadway location.
After 90 years.
Yeah.
Flagship location.
Instead of being open 24 hours a day, they are going to close at 8 o'clock each night because of some ne'er-do-well activity that's going on in a lot adjacent to the restaurant that they do not own.
Where there was a murder a couple of weeks ago.
So joining us in studio in the 5 o'clock hour will be Danny Lopez, who is the owner of Manny's. Also the president, you said, Sam, of the Kansas City Restaurant Association.
He used to be. I think he still holds that title. Okay. Yeah, the Greater Kansas City Restaurant Association. David, by the way.
I wrote David. I don't know why I said Danny. Sorry, beg your pardon.
Combining David and Manny. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
David Lopez, owner of Manny's, yes. He'll be joining us in studio. A tourist who drew widespread condemnation in Hawaii after a witness recorded him chucking a coconut-sized rock at Lammy, a beloved Hawaiian monk seal off of Maui Beach, has been arrested.
I thought he got his you-know-what kicked for it.
By federal agents.
Good.
His name is unpronounceable. His first name is Igor.
So is his face.
His last name is Light Vine Chuck. He is 38 years old of Covington, Washington.
38 years old. Uh-huh. And after he hit the seal, I can't even watch the video because it just makes me sick. Somebody said he bragged. He was rich. He was going to get away with it. And then I read someone stepped in and handled business right there. A guy stepped in.
Hawaiians don't play.
No. Not with their nature.
You're right. He did tell a witness, quote, "I don't care. I'm rich enough to pay any fine."
Okay.
And he said, "How about this fine? Pah!
Rich enough to pay your medical bills."
What did it sound like when they landed the punch?
He said, "How about this fine? Pah!"
Okay.
I like it. Pah! Have you ever been driving home and you saw something so unusual that you thought, "I'm going to stop and take a photo of that because no one's going to believe me"? I'm on my way home last night.
Did we see a puma again?
I did not see a puma, but this does involve wildlife. And it's a gorgeous day the last couple days.
Gorgeous. It's been fantastic.
And so everybody's out walking, and, you know, I'm waving at people, and I am driving almost to my house. And I look over, and a woman is on a walk, and I see she's holding something. And I'm like, what is that? It looked like a leash, but there was no dog. And so as I slow down and pass this lovely woman, she very much, in fact, has a leash. And the leash is attached to a very large bird that is sitting on her shoulder. She was out walking a bird.
Oh, that is awesome.
Oh, glorious,
that
Sam.
That sounds like a call to 911 if I ever heard one.
Sounds like she's in distress.
You needed some exercise, and your bird, you know, wanted to go along, and it's a beautiful day out. Good on you.
So is she a falconer? I mean, did you stop and talk to her?
It was not a falcon. It was a, what's that bird that goes?
A pigeon?
No, they're a cockatoo. It was a cockatoo. One of those yellow, big plumed cockatoos. Nice. And I mean, this thing was, it was big. And it was just right
on her shoulder?
On her right shoulder, and she had a leash and was just walking, seemed happy as a clam.
Did you pull up, roll your window down, and go, "Aye, matey"?
No, she went, "Ca-ca, ca-ca."
Are you losing an eye patch?
Where's the booty?
I just have never seen anything like it.
Where's the booty?
It was very interesting.
Very funny. I've been a little disappointed, I must confess, because the nights have been, the evenings have been horribly, horribly nice. And so lately, you know, none of our shows are on right now, and so we'll get home, and we'll have dinner at 6:30, watch Wheel, and what, Dan?
That just makes me chuckle.
Okay. Grandpa. We'll watch Wheel, and then at 7, I say the same thing every night. Do you want to go sit out front? And we go sit out front. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
You know, 70 degrees. Sun's going down, but still up.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one out in our neighborhood.
Why don't you sit out back? I'm surprised you would sit out front. I don't want to talk to people.
Really?
Well, I mean, not when I'm relaxing at the end of the day, no. I prefer just to, you know.
Well, it's not like we're going to break down, you know, Einstein's law of gravity or anything like that.
Pretty sure he wasn't involved in that.
I don't either, but whatever.
I mean, how else do you get the scoop on the neighborhood,
you know? That's true.
I am the eyes and ears of my neighborhood.
I'm going to give you a little tip, folks, because you know I don't miss a Royals game. But when it is this nice out, it's, you know, you start feeling guilty that let's sit around and watch a Royals game, right? I said to him last night, why don't we shut the TV off and listen to the game?
Ooh.
We'll listen to Lefevre's call. Had a little fire out back. Had a little glass of wine. We listened to the game.
A little mind theater.
And actually had conversation, which I think when you're physically watching the game is harder to do. When you're watching the game, you're watching it. You're commenting about the, there was a female umpire behind the plate last night, which I love to see. Yep. And I said, you know what? Let's turn this off. Let's listen.
There was a female umpire?
Yes, there was.
Hey, behind, don't sound so surprised.
Behind home plate last night. Yes, there was.
Huh.
She went, ah, when it was a strike. Ah.
Okay.
And
sound like a pirate?
We listened to it. And so if you guys are looking to mix it up, I'm telling you, it reminds me of my childhood. My grandfather and I used to always sit around, my dad too. We would listen to the Royals games, even if it was on TV on a nice summer night. I can still remember the windows would be open in the house because they did not have air conditioning. You could hear the cicadas outside.
Where did they live?
Well, this was like, I don't know, in the late 70s, early 80s.
We had air conditioning.
Yeah, they didn't get central air till later. They had an attic fan.
Ooh, love the attic fan.
And there's something about the listening to that call on the radio that reminds me of my childhood.
Huh.
Also, being in nature is good, you know?
Hearing the birds. Yeah, I liked it.
Get the frequency of the wind through your veins.
I liked it.
But if you had that giant fountain, you could probably mount a TV on it.
You could. There would be a water feature. It would be very, very relaxing, Dan.
With your pond.
The Senate has agreed to adopt a resolution today that would withhold senators' pay during a lapse in funding for any federal agency following two lengthy and record-breaking shutdowns in recent months that have taken a toll on federal workers.
Mm-hmm.
Good. The vote was 99-0.
Better be.
Senator John Kennedy called it shared sacrifice, pointing to how federal employees generally go without pay during a shutdown.
Oh, please.
What?
They have the nerve to call that a shared sacrifice. People were losing their homes, Scott.
That's fair.
That's not a shared sacrifice. They're all millionaires. We stand in solidarity with the common man. No, you don't. Shut up.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are starting to sound more and more like me every day. I'm loving
Good
this.
Good God.
This is fun.
You have ruined me.
What he should have said was, we should have done this years ago.
That's true.
We're mortified we didn't, and we're so sorry.
But at least they're doing something,
for those of
right?
you who sat on the sidelines without pay, or worse, went to work, overworked, underpaid, without a check.
Now, in fairness to Senator Kennedy,
TSA people,
who is known for his interesting verbiage,
his accent that he puts on?
Well, his accent and his interesting wording when he's doing interviews. He said, and I quote, "We ought to hide our heads in a bag."
Okay, that's better.
It's got to stop. Shutting down government, it should not be our default solution to our refusal to work out our issues and our differences.
Here's an idea, guys. Maybe we cut some waste instead of having to try to find more money.
Our topic this hour comes to us from Olathe.
I knew that would fall flat.
Olathe students may soon be able to report bullying anonymously 24/7.
To whom?
The move to create a reporting website for students who have been bullied or witnessed bullying is the centerpiece of the district's first overhaul of its anti-bullying plan in nearly 20 years.
How do you anonymously report?
Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back.
And how do you make sure that,
it's an accurate report? You are, well, we just talked about this
question,
in the 2
man.
O'clock hour with Nivens in the 311. You can just anonymously report anyone for anything in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't make it true. When the CEO of our company or a regional vice president comes to town, they always tell us downstairs. You guys know where I'm going.
You can ask us anything.
You can submit an anonymous question, and you will not be revealed.
Well, there's not that many people in the building. We can figure it out.
Do you know how many anonymous questions I've submitted over the years for our CEO
in,
or regional?
In 30 years.
In 30 years in this building, I have submitted zero anonymous questions because it's never anonymous.
Yeah, weird. You're saying it's anonymous, but I have to sign into my company-provided email to fill out the form.
Right. That's exactly right. And, I mean, everybody as high up as it goes is going to read my question and know who submitted it.
I don't think it's going to be anonymous to the people receiving the information. I think it's just going to be a situation where they don't present the information to everybody else. They need a safe space to be able to say, hey, Bob was bullying me, without getting retaliation from Bob.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. So, story here from CBS News. Artificial intelligence developers want to know what you know. Leading makers of AI tools are hiring people with a wide range of skills and expertise, from Hollywood screenwriters to hiking enthusiasts, to train their bots to be smarter, according to job postings. Would you care to guess some of the jobs that they are encouraging people who have those jobs to teach our AI what you know?
Healthcare. Research.
Healthcare, yes. Doctors.
No.
By the way, let me translate. Teach our AI what you know. Make your job obsolete.
Correct.
Is what they're really
that
saying.
That is correct.
Doctors
is one where presumably, obviously it's not going to do surgery, but you go in and you say, here are my symptoms. Here's what's wrong with me. And AI spits out a prescription for, you know, amoxicillin or whatever.
We're already doing that.
Is education on there?
No, actually.
You mentioned music. In what regard?
It just says musicians.
Okay.
Which it has already started.
Yeah. Breaking Rust, Eddie, whatever the heck his name is.
Eddie Dalton.
I feel like anything where you have to count something or you have to research the counting of something is where AI is extremely beneficial. Like coding, like genetics.
I think you're missing some of the obvious ones, and there are a couple on here that really concern me.
Okay.
Foreign language translators.
Okay.
That's obvious. So if you're going to college right now and you want to be a translator at some point, you know, working at the UN or at the White House, and the president goes over to meet with Emmanuel Macron and you speak French and you think, well, I'm going to go over there and translate. Because obviously I speak English.
Yeah, programs are going to do that now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Every time they have a UN thing, they wear those little headphones, and in real time, it...
I believe Meta AI glasses have a setting where you can go. Obviously, you can't respond in their language because you don't speak it, but you can go to someone who speaks a different language. They will speak to you, say, in Spanish, and it with the little speakers above the ears, it will feed English into your ears.
Okay, creative writers, not surprising.
Okay.
Litigators, read that, lawyers.
Okay.
Communications pros. So writing a press release or responding to media inquiries, whatever.
Okay. I think lawyers is an interesting one because it can go through thousands and thousands of pages of case law trying to find reasoning to either dismiss or
It can
build.
Also screw it up royally, we have seen
that
in other court cases.
So they did a recent study on AI. AI gets it right 94% of the time. 94% of the time.
Was that a study conducted by AI?
Probably.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, but that 6% can be devastating. I've said this before.
Yep.
Tesla self-drive gets it right about 98% of the time. It's the 2% that'll kill you.
Yeah, it sends you off a cliff.
Yeah.
With a family of four inside.
Here's the one that's going to throw you over the ledge. Air traffic controller.
Okay, but let's talk about that. Let's talk about that, shall we?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Our air traffic controllers are overworked. They are underpaid. The pipeline, the 6-year training pipeline, is completely broken in the United States. There is one training center, I believe in Oklahoma City. One. It is cranking out a couple of hundred air traffic controllers. We need thousands of them. If we can train cars to drive autonomously,
yeah.
Can we?
Why can the planes not speak to one another in a way that would prevent an air disaster forever. And I mean, I'm talking to you, Reagan International, with the plane that hit the helicopter in training because no one was talking to each other. Could you not put some sort of GPS system on every single aircraft, period? Theoretically, there would never be another collision again.
Now, you say air traffic controllers are underpaid. The average salary for an air traffic controller is $145,000. That's pretty good. The top pay is $210,000.
I think
overworked and understaffed
workers are, like, I'm not saying they should all be, you know, replaced with technology, but how do we not have the transponders even on the fire truck that was struck? Mm. Was supposed to have some transponder where this never happens, and then it did. That's, to me, the stuff that AI can be helpful with.
They're already supposed to have that technology.
I know.
But do you want AI landing a plane?
Computers already fly that plane.
They fly the plane, but they don't land it.
We do have the Garmin emergency self-landing technology.
Here's why I don't want any of those things. Story to you from Atlanta.
Here we go.
Empty Waymos invade Atlanta neighborhood, circle a cul-de-sac for hours with no passengers inside. Waymo's self-driving cars can be seen all over Atlanta. What happens when they're empty and lost? In one Northwest Atlanta neighborhood, you guys, the video is hilarious. Residents say dozens of Waymo cars just showed up and started circling the cul-de-sac. Look, honey, there's the Big Ben. There is video, you guys, of these cars going around and around and around. I mean, they're just on autopilot going around. And then there ends up being so many of them, they get stuck and they don't know how to exit. There's like 25 of them.
Clearly a computer glitch.
We're just not there yet.
Please tell me they were honking the whole time.
I think eventually we will get there.
Recently, a Waymo drove straight into floodwaters.
Not good.
Because it couldn't tell the difference between water and the road.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we cannot forget the story last year when there was a police standoff and the Waymo drove past the first cop car, which had its lights on, which it thought was then triggering the Waymo to pull over. So it did in the middle of the standoff.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. We're not there yet.
From the text line, let me clarify. When I said AI can't land a plane, I understand that there are rare occasions where pilots will put the plane on autopilot and it lands itself. What I'm saying is, when I mentioned land a plane, I was talking about from the air traffic controller point of view, where, okay, you know, flight 575, you're coming in. Okay, we need you to slow down. We've got another plane coming in from the east that needs to land before you. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe AI could do that. And if it can, that scares me.
I don't think it can. I don't think we're going to have a choice about whether or not it's going to.
What is a job AI could never take?
Surgery.
Yep.
They do robotic surgeries all the time.
Robotic assist is way different than having a robot cut into my body when we can't teach a Waymo how to go out of a cul-de-sac and they are now all trapped in this Atlanta neighborhood. There are certain things, life and death things.
From the text line, massage therapist.
Well, you have a point there. The rapes that have been in our stack five times in the last year.
Wow, you weren't there?
Would definitely stop.
Well, I'll tell you this. T booked a massage yesterday with, and she was given a man. I'll tell you what I said when we get back.
The arrests have been in Lawrence, Baldwin City,
Kansas City.
Where was it? There was just another one a couple of days ago.
Well, there were.
And it was a woman in that case.
Several years ago, there was one in Leawood. Remember?
It was on the Kansas City side of State Line Road.
No,
yes.
But there was the one on the Leawood side. Remember the sign on the door?
We on vacation.
Ooh, from the text line, AI can't replace strippers.
That's true. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here at Dana Parks. Any idea how many breaths you take per minute?
40.
No.
It depends on your health, quite frankly. The healthy range should be anywhere from 12 to 20. Anything below, and you're looking at health concerns. Anything above, and you're looking at health concerns.
The actual number, the average, is 12 to 16 per minute.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Let's go to Ben.
It's just a dictionary of bizarre knowledge.
I'm just goofing around on the internet and find this stuff and find it interesting. Ben in Pleasant Valley, hello.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
We're doing well.
Dana?
Yes.
Sorry you missed out on your fountain, but it was a very interesting yesterday afternoon.
We're thrilled, but thank you.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you're talking about this AI stuff. There's a movie out right now. It's not in the theater, so you can stream it or buy it somewhere. It's called Mercy. And this guy wakes up. He's strapped. He's handcuffed in a chair. He's being charged for murder of his wife. And there's an AI judge on the screen. There's no jury. There's no prosecutors. Nothing.
I've seen this been advertised.
Okay. It's not an Academy Award winner, but it's good. But I tell you what, it makes you think, because at the last 2 minutes, she starts to turn around and she begins to realize human emotions, human understanding. So yeah, you ought to see it, and it will make you think.
Yeah, I don't want AI seeping into justice systems. I really don't.
It already has.
I know, but it scares me.
Judges are writing opinions using AI. Lawyers
are writing
briefs.
It's still their opinion based on their legal knowledge.
Is it?
God, I would hope so.
I'm not so sure.
We've seen the videos of the lawyers getting busted in court. Yep. Using AI, which gets it wrong, citing wrong case law.
That is correct.
How often do real lawyers get it wrong and cite the wrong case law?
Well, or misinterpret case law? If you're a lawyer and you get it wrong, that is human error. If you're cheating and using a computer, that gets it wrong.
I mean, whose error is it?
We wouldn't let kids, or at least we shouldn't, let kids write papers, book reports, whatever, using AI. Why would we allow lawyers to do it? I mean, if a student gets it wrong, the whole point is for you to learn.
Right.
Or for you to educate.
From the text line, Mercy is a run, do not walk.
Yeah, I've really? Scrolled past it a bunch of times.
Scott on line two. Scott, hello.
Hey there. So I don't remember where I heard this, but I do know I have a friend that is a commercial pilot, and I don't remember if I heard it from him or from off the radio, another conversation a couple months ago. Anyway, depending on if it's a overseas or if it's, you know, in country, if it has people on it, or you're just doing cargo like UPS or FedEx, and, you know, company matters too. But they only have to do live stick landings anywhere from 3 to 6 times. You know, once every 3 to 6 landings.
Hmm.
So, yeah, they're already doing automated landings.
I don't dispute that. And just so I'm clear,
or auto assist.
And to repeat myself, what I meant when I said, you know, planes can't land themselves, I was talking about the air traffic controller component of landing a plane. Not the pilot component of landing a plane. Yes, I'm well aware that some planes, you can put them on some sort of autopilot mode and they can land themselves. And that probably happens more often than I would like. What I was talking about was the eyes in the sky, the air traffic controller saying, okay, flight 575, we need you to hold back for a minute. We got another flight coming in. That I would prefer to be done by humans. And granted, they make mistakes. Washington Reagan.
Oh, yeah.
The flight incidents that we've seen at LaGuardia, at JFK. I understand that humans make mistakes. But I'd rather trust a human who's been trained and knows what they're doing than rely on a computer intelligence system to try to land a plane.
I mean, the systems mess up too.
Because of the systems that just sent all of those Waymo cars. Look, honey, there's the Big Ben. Around and around and around a roundabout for hours.
We know, Dad.
In Atlanta.
Jason in North Kansas City. Jason, hello.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Hey, actually, you made this a lot easier because I was going to kind of go a different direction, but I'm not going to say what she does. My daughter is involved in large health policy issues, and which requires a ton of research. And while I'm thinking that, you know, AI is taking over the world, she made it abundantly clear as somebody who has to deal with all this stuff, because not just with her research, but she's got to deal with all the stuff that comes from the government, all the stuff that comes from people that work under her. And AI is basically just infested with tons of false information because it roots out everything. It doesn't check what's going on. And she had a great idea. So that being said, but she had a great idea on the whole student AI thing is when she was talking with a teacher, was that you should actually have your students create a false AI report. And then your assignment is to dig out all the false information.
All the errors.
Exactly. Hmm. And teach you how to deal with it.
Yeah. And I know AI is, with every passing day, gets better and better and more accurate. However, when AI first came about, or let me rephrase, when we first started hearing about AI, John Grayson had AI, ChatGPT, I think it was, write a brief biography of me. And I would say about 85% of it was correct.
Right, but what was wrong was so wrong.
It said that I had written editorials for the Kansas City Star. I have never written anything for the Kansas City Star. In all the years that I've been in this town, not one thing that I've ever written has appeared in the Kansas City Star.
You keep trying, and they're like, no, we're going to pass on that.
Yeah, that's lame. 913-586-7798. Last word goes to Linda in Oak Grove. Hello, Linda.
Hey, I was just thinking of things that AI cannot replace.
Yeah.
And that would be anything that involves human senses, like taste, touch, smell, feel, and anything that requires like human connection or emotion, like psychological counseling.
Sure.
Like, you know, like, or especially like grief counseling, you know, you're bawling your, you know, you lose a loved one and you're bawling your eyes out. You don't want to be hugging a robot, you know, and they're going there.
Linda, thank you for the there.
will be fine.
My own mother texted me. No, AI could just hologram a stripper. Thanks, Mom. Appreciate that.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Just found a little blurb that I want to pass on to all of you about a very important industry that very few people think about. And that is the industry that connects companies that need stuff hauled from point A to point B with truck drivers who will haul the stuff from A to B.
Logistics.
It's logistics, freight, okay? A Supreme Court decision today ruled unanimously, the justices, against a major United States logistics company. It could have massive reverberations across the country, Kansas City and beyond, and here's why. The case involved a guy, Scott, who was sitting in his truck and was struck by a freight driver. I don't even know what the guy was hauling, but we haul stuff everywhere. Phones, toilet paper.
Well,
everything you can possibly imagine has to get from point A to point B somehow.
Correct.
That's what freight and logistics does. The guy that was struck was named Sean Montgomery, and in that crash, he lost his leg. He survived, but he lost his leg. He argued that he should be able to sue the freight broker, a Minneapolis company, I believe, called C.H. Robinson, the country's largest freight broker by size. Because, he said, they chose to put this contracted driver on the road despite the fact he had had, you know, some issues before behind the wheel. The Supreme Court unanimously ruled that lawsuit can go forward. And I only mention that Kansas City has a huge freight footprint here.
Yellow truck.
I think all of the freight companies that haul all of our stuff that you never even think about. How does that get from point A to point? How does all the stuff that ends up in Kmart get inside of Kmart? Freight. What this means is higher insurance rates, checks. I don't know how they even begin to do this in logistics, how you check on a driver's record that is with a company that you're contracting to move this stuff.
By the way, yellow folded.
Yellow folded. But, that's probably the oldest well-known example in Kansas City. But there are
I didn't know they went out of
many, many others. Oh, yeah, like 5 years ago.
Oh.
So the decision does not necessarily mean he's going to win, but the ruling opens the door to increased liability for freight brokers, which is an enormous part of the United States economy. The Transportation Intermediaries Association calls the ruling, quote, deeply disappointing.
I think most Americans don't realize how how large the logistics market is in America. Think about any building you go into.
Everything in it.
Everything in it. How did I get this coffee mug?
Yep.
From Brian Busby.
How did we get the coffee that goes inside the coffee mug?
How did I get this Gatorade Zero? How did it end up at Hy-Vee this morning when I stopped there to...
Freight.
Everything. How, the paper that we're reading stories off of. How did it get here?
This says freight brokers, who are the ones that connect the companies that ship the Gatorade to the drivers who do it, will now have to focus more on the safety records of the truckers they are contracting with to haul all kinds of goods instead of just looking for the cheapest and fastest option.
But how is that any different than, for example, if you and I were to defame someone on this radio program, they would go after you and me, of course, but they would also go after KMBZ and our parent company, Odyssey.
It's such a necessary part of the federal government and the way it operates. The company was arguing it should be tossed out of state court. And this ruling said no.
913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks. Hey, if you missed a segment, make sure you check out the Dana Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. The news in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.